Mark 1, 28-39. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he travelled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons.
Well, last week we announced that we were going to do a new series starting this week, but after reflecting on that this week, I felt led that we would start that series, Light versus Darkness, once we can meet back on site together. And instead, this morning, I want to speak to us about the notion or idea of soul shepherding or self-care. I came across this term during the week, soul shepherding, and it epitomizes everything that I believe I wanted to speak about to us all today. You may not know this, but shepherding is actually one of the oldest professions or oldest occupations around. There are still people today that make a living from professional shepherding. Did you know that? I remember when I was in Israel, I visited a site called Mount Nebo. And Mount Nebo is in the book of Deuteronomy. It's actually the site where Moses stood and saw the land of Canaan before the Israelites entered into the promised land. But Moses wasn't allowed to enter it because of his sin. That was the spot God allowed Moses to see the promised land before he would later die in Moab. And it was an incredible experience to stand in the exact same spot that Moses would have stood to see the land of Canaan, the promised land of Israel. But what was even more incredible and so unique was when we were walking back down that hill towards the bus, and we looked out into the rolling green hills, and there was a group of sheep being shepherded by a shepherd. It was the most incredible experience I've ever seen. It was almost like I'd been transported back into ancient times. But we get a lot of insights about shepherding from the Bible, don't we? It's one of the key metaphors that the Bible draws on to talk about and help us understand God's relationship with mankind. Some of the key points that the Bible makes is, first of all, a good shepherd should know his sheep. A good shepherd knows his sheep by name. A good shepherd should see that the needs of the sheep are met. Fourthly, a good shepherd feeds their sheep. And above all else, a good shepherd protects the sheep from predators. So when it comes to self-care and when it comes to our lives, I believe this is a great metaphor for how we should be looking after ourselves, both emotionally, physically, and of course spiritually. In the current season of life that we are in, it's so easy to feel overwhelmed, isn't it? So easy to feel tired, exhausted, anxious even, from all that's going on. And this can have huge ramifications for our mental, physical, and spiritual well-being, our holistic well-being. So this morning I want to encourage us to look within and to encourage us to look after ourselves by talking about some key strategies, some key points that we can put in place, some key rhythms in order that we can become and what and help us to learn what it looks like to become shepherds over our souls and our lives. Because once again, as we've been looking at, you matter to God. Your life matters to God My life matters to God. We are so important to Him, and we need to be looking after ourselves, don't we? We need to know our bodies and grow in self-awareness. We need to know our body's emotional, physical, and spiritual needs and know that they are being met. We need to be feeding our bodies and our minds with the right things, healthy things. And above all else, we need to learn how to protect ourselves, to draw boundaries in and around our lives so we don't get burnt out, we don't become overwhelmed by life circumstances. And this is something our Lord Jesus mastered in His life when He walked this earth. He knew the importance of looking after Himself. Jesus was a great soul shepherd. And He learned to take care of Himself in order that He could be the best version of Himself He could possibly be. He knew how to take care of Himself so that He could ultimately serve and look after the needs of others. And we see this most notably in the text that was just read out to us earlier, Mark 1:29 and 38. In these two stories of Scripture, we first of all see Jesus overcome with people wanting to see Him, wanting Him to perform a miracle. And first of all, in only the few verses, we see Him heal Simon's mother-in-law from a bad fever. And then, almost automatically, it goes into verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but He would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. And we think our lives are busy. We think our ministry lives are busy sometimes. We only have to look to what Jesus experienced and the sheer amount of ministry that He was expected to do to realize. Jesus was constantly on the go, constantly giving of Himself. As we probably know, this can be extremely draining. It can be extremely exhausting. And this is what I love about our faith, that our God has experienced the limitations of human life. Jesus was exhausted. He became drained. He was tired and at times anxious about what was going on around Him. But He did something about it. That's the key. In the very next passage we see in verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and walked off to a solitary place where He prayed." And then we see Him once again in demand again, where the disciples are now looking after Him, or looking for Him. But what is striking about Jesus is that it doesn't happen once. He doesn't look after Himself once in this one passage. It's throughout Scripture, throughout the Gospels. In Mark 2:13, it says, "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake." In Mark 2:23, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields and His disciples walked along." Mark 3:7, "Jesus withdrew with His disciples to the lake and a large crowd from Galilee followed." In Luke 6 and in Mark 3, "Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, He called His disciples to Him." Jesus knew how to take care of Himself in order that He could be the best version of Himself He could possibly be. And the same goes for us. In order to be the best versions of ourselves, we need to learn to take care of ourselves. Let me say that again. In order to be the best versions of ourselves we can possibly be, we need to learn to take care of ourselves. In order to be the best mothers, the best fathers, the best husbands and wives, ultimately the best disciples of Jesus, we need to learn to take care of ourselves, especially when the hardships of life roll in, when the storms of life roll in. You know, there's times where you sometimes feel overwhelmed and exhausted, drained from life circumstances. And all it takes is one person to say something we disagree with or that we don't like, and we snap at them, we react. When we put in soul care measures in place in our lives, this will allow us to be the best versions of ourselves we can possibly be in a holistic manner, in a holistic approach. Pastor Peter Brain says, "A positive attitude coupled with intentional patterns of self-care, is all about helping us function well in our relationships with others. It will help us value and develop good support systems that fellow Christians will want to offer us, and will enable us to keep our focus for ministry clear and sharp. It will help us keep the main thing the main thing. So what can we learn this morning about the way Jesus led his life and lived his life that we can apply to our own lives here today? Well, first and foremost, one of the key things that we learn about Jesus' way of life is that he was unhurried. So I want to encourage us all today to be unhurried, become unhurried people. And this requires planning ahead, doesn't it? It means being organized as much as we possibly can. It all comes back to being purposeful in our approach to life. It's something I need to apply to my life. Sometimes I can just be on the go and I need to learn to be unhurried. Jesus ultimately knew his purpose and destiny among us, didn't he? And I think it's a balancing act between being led by the Spirit as Jesus was and having an idea of where we are going and what we are wanting to achieve, and allowing those two to interact with one another. Being led by the Spirit, but having that purposeful approach to life, having a clear direction and vision of where you want to head. So first of all, be unhurried. Second of all, something we've spoken about only recently, practice being still. Practice secrecy and solitude. Again, this spot here that I come to do some of the sermons, this is the place that I come at 4 o'clock every Wednesday afternoon to spend time with God, to be still before him, to be unhurried, to hear from him. So if you're around and about at 4 o'clock, don't come down here, because this is where I like to be alone. But we need to practice secrecy and solitude, prioritize time with God in our lives, ultimately make Jesus number one. Again, when we look at Jesus's life, God the Father was number one in his life. Everything he did derived from his direction by God. And when I'm really sincere in my relationship with God, when I'm actively living this out, let me tell you, for me personally, it's the single most replenishing aspect in my life. Sometimes I can, just a word from God can change my whole day, my whole outlook. A simple word led by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, where God may say, Dan, I love you. Dan, I'm proud of you. Dan, you're my son. Sometimes a single word from God can lift my spirits and replenish me like nothing else. But the trick is being disciplined enough to be still, to be unhurried before him in order to hear his voice and his guidance and his direction. Become unhurried. Practice secrecy and solitude. And finally, I want to encourage us to build healthy rhythms into our life. And some of those rhythms I want to encourage us with this morning: exercise and eating well, prioritizing time with our families, recreational time. Three key things. First of all, exercise and eating well. I can't emphasize that enough for me personally. When I'm overwhelmed, when I'm exhausted, or when I'm anxious, sometimes all it takes is to go for a run or to do a workout, do some exercise to experience that replenishing, that filling up once again. Sometimes it can take me from almost empty or quarter full up to three quarter full once again. And as most of us know, lack of exercise and not eating well is one of the key reasons why we have so many diseases and mental health disorders in our lives, in our world. And you don't have to be a triathlete, you don't have to be a professional sportsman. All it takes is 30 minutes a day of getting your cardio up, your heart rate up, cardio or something, just to encourage our minds to release our minds. It'll do wonders for your holistic health. Why not go for a walk and listen to a podcast or listen to worship music? That's something that I've started to get into as well. Exercise and eating well, spending time with the family, spending time with those close family members. I love my days off, or my family days with the boys, Thursdays and Saturdays with our family and Chloe now. They fill me up. They replenish me. I make the most of them by spending time together as a family. We are wired for community and relationship, and this is a big replenisher, I believe, of our souls and our spirits, our lives. Again, some of us aren't as blessed to have family around us or strong relationships with our family. How about our church family? Who in our church can you spend time with to replenish your soul? Finally, in terms of building healthy rhythms into our life, recreational time. It's so important because we are wired with different passions and interests. For me personally, again, it's basketball, it's sport, it's reading. There's a whole lot of things I enjoy doing. What is it for you? Is it golfing? Is it reading? Is it gardening? Is it stamp collecting? Whatever the case may be, we need to find those things that we enjoy doing because they, again, replenish us. They fill us up. This is what it's all about. I think we need to start to view our lives in many ways, our souls and our lives, like petrol tanks in cars. When we're filled up and we're going great, it's great, it's awesome. But when we're consumed and we're busy with life, we can lose energy, we can lose focus, and before you know it, we're teetering on empty. So again, we need to find ways that we can be replenished, that we can be built up in our lives. Take care of ourselves, soul shepherding. And I wonder how many of us are in that place today. Where is your marker at today on the fuel tank? Are you on empty? Are you half full? Are you full? Long term, if we are going from full to empty all the time, this is not going to be healthy for our holistic health. We need to find ways to replenish our souls. We need to find that balance to ensure that we don't keep going from full to empty, because that will just lead to burnout and emotional exhaustion. For us to do this effectively, it requires us being intentional. Creating rhythms of intentionality, again, where we can be replenished before we get down to empty. I encourage us this morning after our service to maybe spend some time brainstorming and jotting down, journaling some ways that we can take care of ourselves, replenish ourselves, build ourselves up again. For as we start to build these rhythms into our lives, we will start to experience life as it's meant to be lived, I believe. But most importantly, we will learn to be able to make the main thing the main thing. And hopefully, that is your relationship with God as it was for Jesus. Can I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time once more. This opportunity to dive into your word, to model your way of life, and to see the way in which you embodied all of this that we've spoken about today through the way you lived your life when you walked this earth. Father God, we thank you for coming to show us the way, to lead the way. We thank you ultimately for dying on the cross to replenish us, to save us, to rescue us and redeem us. And we pray, Lord God, that we can start to prioritize you in our lives and that we can build these healthy rhythms into our life in order that we can be the best versions of ourselves that we can possibly be. Father God, be with us today as we continue in this time, and bless us now as we come to worship you now in response to what we have spoken about here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.